Programming tutorial. Connecting all the program pieces together with an event emitter. Normally, you want to go as simple as possible. So the main file in your program should not be the program itself, but rather a kind of an index of all the things that you are going to be calling. It should be written for your rubber duck, for your tired self, few years down the road, or up it. The opening file to your program ties everything together, reveals the structure of the whole thing. It should be basic if-then statements and calls to functions that actually do the actual work. If you ever change your mind about something in your program, you will only have to edit that one simple main file to make all the changes. But, as you can imagine, some programs can get really complex. Even a simple chat application can turn a simple program into non-sequential madness, where things jump out of the server at you when, for example, someone sends you a private message. All of a sudden, your program can't have a starting point, can't do things in a proper sequence. It is no longer like the music roll in a player piano, but more like a telegraph, a radio, or a phone. It first has to listen, and only when it gets a message can it execute its functions. So there's this programming pattern or a strategy called event emitter. And it only really has two things about it. It is part of its beauty. The event emitter can listen to events, and it can emit new events. In a chat program, it would listen for an event named incoming message. The thing that it would listen to is the web server. You need a hosting company that will sell you a server for about $5 per month for the world to connect to. Once you install the chat program and someone connects to it and types something in and hits send, they will be emitting an event to the server. Let us call this event outgoing message. So the stranger presses the send button, and the now standard program attached to the outgoing message event handler will grab the text that the stranger typed in, create a data object, and then send it to the server. The server will then send the object to all the users in the chat, and that will be represented as the incoming message event. Here, the event handler will take the text out of the object and stick it into the chat window. All this requires maybe 20 lines of code. It is a very simple program. As an example, it is just two events, incoming message and outgoing message. Both of those events have very simple programs attached to them. These programs are just five-line functions, and the correct term for them is event handlers. Once an event is received by the event emitter, it will trigger the event handler associated with the event name. And yes, the event handlers can also emit events, making the entire program come to life. And that is it. The event emitter can listen for events or emit them. My most recent use of the event emitter was just about a week ago. I had to say, "Once the server has started, then begin downloading its files." I wanted to create a very simple abstraction layer and not need to worry about what server I will end up using or how long it will take for it to start. One of my most favorite ways of perceiving the event emitter is to see it as a command system. Instead of thinking about emitting an event, I think about executing a command. and my most colorful use of the event emitter was for a MUD program, an interactive text adventure game. I made a world that consisted of locations like room, palace, woods, and then sent a golden snitch from Harry Potter movies through it. The golden snitch, when opening doors, would actually trigger the open door event and interact with the surrounding environment. Now, I don't really know what a golden snitch does in Harry Potter's books. I am a fan of Twilight. I never had time for Harry Potter, but maybe someday. One time, after a long programming session for a charity event, my teammates and I were asked to step out for a photo. And the day was so ridiculously bright that before I could stop myself, I said, "If I step into that sun, I'm going to sparkle like a vampire from Twilight." This was a really long weekend programming session, and I really didn't like the idea of mixing PHP with JavaScript when Node.js was already around and could allow for JavaScript use on the server and in the browser. I was wearing my Superman shirt, and one programmer was fool enough to say, "Hey, Superman," to which I quickly replied, "Good." "Good morning, Lois." And I don't think his name was Lois. I'm pretty sure nobody liked me there. I was just trying to be funny. Anyway, the golden snitch led me to a new appreciation for the event emitter. It makes creating virtual worlds very simple and very fun. I called it thought programming because of how little work needs to get done to make things go. And since it does not matter if it is a non-playable character or a user moving through a virtual environment, it is fun to watch things happening all on their own when just the bots are bumping into each other. As a side note, I once connected two chatbots together over a network and they started chatting one to the other and asking and sometimes answering each other's questions. That is a perfect job for the emitter. It was like 15 lines of code. It was perfect. In closing, the event emitter makes complicated things simple. And if you stick to structuring your entire program with events, you can create a beautiful diagram out of it. Even without a computer, armed with just an arm and a pencil, you can start sketching complicated multi-input, multi-user programs with multiple things creating ordered chaos. If you are just starting out with programming, try to imagine how you would create a program you like by just listening to and emitting events. And if there is ever a program that is confusing you, try wrapping it in an event emitter and giving it a simpler and more user-friendly front end.